Well, let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Jude. Which chapter, one or two? They both read the same. Doesn't matter. They both read the same. The book of Jude. If you can find the concordance in your Bible, the maps, you'll then go back one and you'll see the book of the Revelation, and then Jude is the next one back. All right. And I'd like to begin reading, please, in verse 20. Verse 20 says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." All right, now hold your place here, please, and go over to the Gospel of John, John's Gospel, chapter 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14. And of course, you know the Lord Jesus is speaking here in this 14th chapter. And I want you to look down, please, at verse 19. In verse 19, he said, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." Now watch carefully. "Judas saith unto him," and John puts a little comma there. You see that? And clarifies for us that this Judas in verse 22 is not Judas Iscariot. All right? In Hebrew, ish is man. All right? So Judas Iscariot, the son of Caria. All right? So Judas Iscariot, the son of Caria. All right? You've heard of the brook Kerish in the Old Testament, Kerith. All right, that brook is that's the family name came from that brook, or that brook came from the family name. They're not real sure, but anyway, Judas, not Iscariot. So wait a minute, you mean there were two Judases? Yes, there were. Yes, there were. So far as the apostles are concerned, I dare say there were many Judases. Does anybody know a Judas today? You wouldn't name your dog Judas, would you? Much less your child. Huh? No. No. No, you wouldn't. Judas, verse 22, saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? All right, let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful word. And I pray that you will bless your word to our hearts this morning. We are thankful that we have a Bible that is dependable. We have a Bible that is eternal in the heavens. We have a Bible that is the inspired, preserved word of the living God. And so, Father, bless now as we look at the word of God and see some truths this morning that will strengthen our faith and help us to better live for you. So speak to our hearts this morning, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning about a man whom you are going to meet one day when you get to heaven. All right, you're going to run into this fellow somewhere in eternity, in heaven. Your paths will cross. And so when you meet him, I want you to be able to smile and tell him that you know a little bit about him. There's not a whole lot to know, to be honest with you. But when you run into him, I want you to be able to say to him that you know who he is and you know his role as one of the 12 apostles. Now, his name is Judas. Now, not Judas Iscariot, all right? The man who sold our Savior out for 30 pieces of silver. Not that Judas, but another Judas, and he is called in the list of the apostles. When they are named and listed, this Judas is called Thaddeus. Thaddeus, you've seen that word in the list that are given of the apostles. So his name was Judas Thaddeus, all right? And he became known after the ascension of our Savior into heaven. He became known simply as Thaddeus. And Thaddeus was one of the original 12 apostles. And there's not a whole lot said about him in the scriptures. But there are some lessons that we can glean from his life. And I want to point out a couple of them to you this morning. He is only quoted one time in the Bible, and that is where we read the passage that I read for you out of John 14. As far as we know, this fella, Thaddeus, was always in the shadows. He's always standing in the background. He's not out in front. He's not glaring. He does not have to have the spotlight on him. No, he never takes the position of great prominence in the Gospels. He was a truly important man in the ministry and life of the Lord Jesus. But I want you just to think about that for a moment. To be chosen by the Savior to be one of the original 12 disciples would in and of itself have been a tremendous honor, don't you think? I mean, out of all the people, you were chosen by the Lord Jesus to be one of his apostles, one of his first disciples. But when you think about Thaddeus, you got to admit, it kind of gives the other, all of us, a little bit of hope and a little bit of encouragement that a person can be the least of all the apostles and still be tremendously important to Jesus. Does that make sense to you? You know, we may not be glaring. We may not have the spotlight shining on our every step. And, you know, the newspapers may not come and do interviews with us and put us on television and get our opinion about everything. But we can still be faithful to the Lord where we are. And even though we're the least among the disciples of the Lord Jesus today, nonetheless, God can use us. He did Thaddeus. It ought to encourage every heart in this room to realize that the Lord Jesus can use you where you are. Isn't that an amazing thing to consider? Now, we read about Thaddeus in Acts chapter 1 in verse 13, where the Lord had already ascended back to heaven to take a seat at the right hand of God the Father. Jesus had told the 11 to tarry in Jerusalem. I say 11 because Judas Iscariot checked out, you remember. All right. So he told them to tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued with power from upon high, from the Holy Spirit. And what we read in Acts 1:13 was that Thaddeus was in the upper room waiting for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit with the 120 other believers. So this man, Judas Thaddeus, was one of the obedient, prayerful Christians who wanted to be in on the prayer meeting, that 10-day prayer meeting, as they prayed for direction and for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. So that's what the Bible reveals to us about Thaddeus. Not a whole lot of information, is it? But there are some things that I want to pull from this man and share with you this morning. The first thing I want you to see, these are little principles that I think will help each and every one of us. And I want to just draw these principles out of the story of Thaddeus. Notice, please, your name is not as important as your character. Now think about that for just a moment. Your name is not as important as your character. I remember when I went to Bible college, the first week I was there, I heard the word character over and over and over and over. And I really did not know what it meant. I'll be honest with you. I sat there and I thought, well, you know, people have called me a character for a long time. So I guess I have character. But then I found out that's not what character is at all. You know, reputation is what men think of you, right? But character is what God and your wife know you are. That's character. Your character is who you are. Now, not one person alive today, I dare say, would name their child Judas. I just don't think they would. I had a friend in Bible college, and we remained friends after Bible college, and he's in heaven now, but bless his heart, he always said, Dr. Bob the Third would always say, no self-respecting human being would dare name even a dog Judas. And so he said, when I'm going to graduate and get out, I'm going to buy a dog and I'm going to name him Judas. But when he graduated, he bought a little Pekingese dog and he didn't name it Judas, he named it Ahab. And I said, I thought you were going to name it Judas. He said, no, no. He said, he's too cute to name Judas. So I named him Ahab. And he was a cute little dog, that's for sure. But anyway, nobody would name their child Judas. So you'll notice it's really kind of glaring, if you want my opinion. But Judas, as he is called in John 14, Judas, after the Lord ascended, after the cross, after the burial, after the resurrection, after the ascension, he does not use the name Judas. He uses the name simply Thaddeus. They call him Thaddeus in the list of the disciples. But notice, he bore the notorious name, but he overcame the stigma of that name. Now, he had the name. There's nothing he could do about it. I mean, but he made his name mean something in spite of the insinuations of his name. And it's kind of interesting that after Judas Iscariot betrayed the Lord Jesus, Judas Thaddeus was no longer called Judas, but simply Thaddeus. And I want you to think about something else. Do you remember that little one-chapter book over here at the end of your Bible? That was written by a man named Judas, Jude, Thaddeus. Did you know that? This book, Jude, was written by Thaddeus. Now notice, when he signed the book, he did not sign it Judas. He didn't do that. He didn't even sign it Thaddeus. I'm wondering, did he not want recognition? Was he that humble of an individual that he didn't even want recognition for his book? I don't know. But he signed the book Jude. Jude. And I think that is just remarkable about him. Now, here is what Thaddeus means, all right? The name Thaddeus, it means praise or praise the Lord. That's what the name means. So in spite of his name and all of the stigma associated with it, Thaddeus was able to bring honor and glory and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what we should see here is that your name is not as important as is your character. Your character is who and what you are. Your name simply designates you as a certain person from other people. So your name is important, but listen, it is not as important as your character, because your character is what and who you are. Truthfully, here's a thought for you. Your name is really your testimony. Isn't that true? Your name is your testimony. When people hear your name called out, it forms a thought as to what kind of an individual, what kind of person you are. What do others think about when they hear your name mentioned? What pops into their minds when your name is heard? In Proverbs 22 in verse 1, Solomon said, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. In Ecclesiastes 7 in verse 1, it says, a good name is better than precious ointment. I mean, to be sure, your name is important. It distinguishes you from everybody else. But what this is showing us is that the testimony behind the name is much more important than the name. Folks, listen, your testimony is so vital. Your name is really your testimony of what your life means to other people. For instance, if I call out the name Charles Haddon Spurgeon, many of you who know who Spurgeon was, you would immediately think of one of the greatest preachers that this world has ever known. If I were to call out the name David Livingstone, you would think of one who sacrificed himself and his family just to reach Africa with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You would think of a man who died on his knees praying for Africa to get saved. If I mention the name George Mueller, you would think of a man who every morning got up way before the sun came up to pray millions of dollars into the orphanage that he ran, which saw boys and girls unwanted from all over come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He would get up in the morning and begin to pray for the Lord to provide breakfast for those kids. And then, sure enough, at 7 o'clock, when breakfast was time had come, someone would pull up every single morning without fail. Somebody pulled up and delivered breakfast for all those kids. And then he did the same thing for lunch. And then he did the same thing for dinner. I mean, George Mueller, you think of that man as a praying saint of God who could get a hold of the horns of the altar and shake England for the cause of Christ. You see, your name is important. Now, if I mention your name this morning, what would it mean to all the rest of us? What would it mean? Listen, Christian, God has a wonderful grace that is available, and you can live down a bad name. I mean, you can live down a bad name. I may be preaching to someone whose name speaks of discouragement, or name speaks of failure, or your name speaks of sin, or your name speaks of some wickedness that you have done, some sinful wickedness. But hey, wait a minute. There is grace that is available. We sometimes sing the song, "Grace that is greater than all my sin." Thank God for His grace. Thank God. I read a story back several years ago. I've never forgotten that story. And the story is the fellow that wrote it said it was a true story. So if it's not true, he's the one lied, not me. All right. But here's the story that he told. He said that when our country was young and we were expanding out west, that they called the Wild West the Wild West for a reason. It was wild. The people were wild, the country was wild, the game was wild, everything was just wild. And as they proceeded towards the Pacific Ocean, little towns would pop up, and people would band together in those towns so that they could work together to survive the ruggedness of the West. And so if a person was found guilty of some crime, they were treated very seriously, and they were judged by their peers and given severe, harsh treatment. And that was a warning that you better not misbehave. If you're gonna misbehave, you're gonna pay a terrible, terrible price for your misdeeds. And so, two teenage boys, decided one day that they were going to steal some sheep from a farmer. And they went out in the night, and they were caught by the farmer. The farmer discovered them and saw what they were doing, and got a shotgun and put the shotgun on them and made them stay until someone went and brought the sheriff back to the farm. Well, they were tried and they were found guilty. And this is cruel, but this was the way that they did it, according to the story. And they said that a branding iron was heated to a red hot glow. And it had the initials S-T. S-T. Why? Well, that stood for sheep thief. Evidently, stealing sheep was a problem back then. And so these two boys were branded, but they did not brand them in a place where it could not be seen. They branded them right in the middle of the forehead, so that from that day on, everywhere they went, the people all around would know not to trust those two boys. They were sheep stealers. They stole sheep. One of them said to the other, "I can't stay here. I can't stay here." And he left and wanted to just simply go away from civilization. He wanted out. He wanted to go where no one would know him and he would not have to live in such shame. But wait a minute, folks. You cannot run from sin. He lived a miserable life, and died at a young age. The other fellow went to the Lord and asked the Lord to forgive him and to save his unworthy soul, and if possible, to use him in some way and in some fashion. And despite the obvious failures in his early life, this young man went to the Lord and his life completely turned around. He became one of the most godly men in that town, and was greatly loved by everyone who knew him. And finally, the day came when he passed away. And everyone came to his viewing. Everyone came to pay their respects to this man who had loved them, prayed for them, and been their friend throughout his whole life. And it was clear that this man had impacted hundreds and hundreds of people. And so as he lay in viewing, this one man came and had his grandchild with him, his grandson. And when he walked up, he looked down into the casket, and there were the two letters, S-T, sheep thief. Wow. The grandson looked up at his grandfather and said, "Papa, why does he have an S-T on his forehead?" And that grandfather looked down with tears in his eyes, and he said to him, "Well, son, I'm going to tell you what those two letters stand for. Those two letters on his forehead stand for saint. You know, like Saint John and Saint Matthew and Saint Paul. And the reason, son, is because this man was a wonderful saint of God." You see, folks, not only your name, but your whole life can be changed when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And your name is not as important as is your character. Amen. Secondly, here's, I don't know, this may not bless you, but it blessed me. But here's what I thought. You know, there is absolutely no mention anywhere of Thaddeus's call to the Lord. Now, there is for Peter and James and John. You remember that? I preached on that just a few weeks ago. I mean, you have their call. You have Andrew's call. But you don't have Thaddeus's call. Strange, huh? I mean, this man, Judas Thaddeus, don't forget, he's the same man that wrote for us the book of Jude. The book of Jude. Now, you know what that means? That you know what else we know about him? He was, get this now, he was a half-brother to our Lord. That means that Mary was his mother. Now, Joseph would have been his father. But you remember, Joseph was not the Lord Jesus' father. The Holy Spirit was Jesus' father. All right? So Jude was a half-brother of the Lord. Now, we know that he was a saved man, but there is no mention of the events surrounding his coming to the Lord Jesus for salvation. We read about Andrew and Peter and James and Philip and Nathaniel and Matthew, but they when they were called to come to the Lord, but nothing is recorded about Jude or Judas Thaddeus's decision to trust Christ. Not a thing, not one word. But we know he was saved. Now that reminds us that of something that we really need to consider. And that's this. There has to be a place and a time when you can say you were saved. Now you may not remember the date. And I'm going to be honest with you, I don't remember the date I was saved. I know it was on a Sunday, and I know it was about 12 o'clock, maybe a little after 12. I know that for sure, but I don't know exactly what day it was. I know it was in October, and I know the year was 1970. So I know beyond a shadow of doubt that I'm saved. Now, I cannot tell you the date. I cannot tell you exactly the time, but I can tell you this. I can tell you this. I could take each and every one of you in person down to Cross Lanes, West Virginia, and I could walk you in to a church down there, and I could, even though it's been remodeled since, I can take you to, because I remember where it all was before they expanded it, and I remember where the pulpit was, and I remember where the altar was, and I could take you down there and get probably about that, within that range right there, and I could point and say, right there is where I got saved. Right there is where I got on my knees and asked the Lord Jesus to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And he did. And he did. You see, Scripture does not mention the time or the place where Thaddeus was saved. But I guarantee you, when you get to heaven, you can ask him, say, Judas Thaddeus, let me ask you a question. Where were you when you put your faith in Big Brother? Where were you? And I'll guarantee you, he could show you exactly the spot. Because you see, you may not know the date, you may not know the time, but you will for sure know that it happened. Can I remind you that the Apostle Paul knew when he was saved and where he was? In Acts 22 and verse 6, Paul was sharing his testimony, which he often did. And he said, and it came to pass in verse 6, that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon. about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. You see, I believe that Paul could take you to the exact place where he fell on his face and where he cried out for the Lord Jesus to save his soul. Can you tell me where you were the day you were saved? I hope you can. I sure hope you can. Now, what is salvation? Well, it's knowing the Lord Jesus, isn't it? Huh? It's you knowing the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm telling you, folks, salvation is not inherited. All right? It's not done by osmosis. You can't put the Bible under your pillow and it just seep through while you're sleeping. It doesn't work that way, does it? No, it's something you believe in. You put your faith in a person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me take you back to John chapter 1 for just a moment here. John 1, go back there, please, and look, if you will, at verse 11. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to read on. You catch up. Verse 11, it says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as what? Received him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You see, we receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior. When we hear the gospel and believe that Jesus died specifically for me as a sinner, when we put our faith in Christ, that is what saves us. Can you take me to the place where you said, here is where I received Christ? Right here is where I received Christ. Could you do that? Then lastly, let's go to the book of Jude now. And I want you to see the last principle is this. When we believe, we can be sure that the Lord saves us and keeps us. All right, did you hear that? We can be sure the Lord saves us and keeps us. Look at verse 24 again. It says, now unto him that is able to keep you from what? Falling. Falling. Huh. He can keep me saved? Is that what that's saying? Yeah, that's what that's saying. Isn't that amazing? You see, if you saved yourself, then this verse might be a problem. But you didn't save yourself. He saved you. And the one that saves you can keep you. I like that. I like that. I mean, you know, the book of Jude was written by Judas Thaddeus, and Jude had seen a man with the same name as his have the same opportunities that he had to be saved, but he saw that man whose name also was Judas, he saw that man reject the grace of God. Judas Iscariot rejected Christ. Judas was never a saved man. He did not believe that Jesus, oh, he had head knowledge. But you know, most people are going to miss heaven by the distance from your head to your heart. Billy Sunday used to say about 18 inches. Going to miss heaven by 18 inches. That's, wow, in the grand scheme of things, that's pretty close, isn't it? But close is not good enough. Jude had seen a man with the same name as his, but he rejected. Judas Iscariot was never a saved man. And Jude watched as he betrayed the Savior and then went out and hung himself. Jude watched as his friend died and went out into eternity, lost forever and ever. But notice Jude begins his book with a great promise. Look at verse 1. Look at verse 1. It says, Jude, the servant of the Lord and brother, servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. Amen. Preserved. Now, you don't need a dictionary to understand what the word preserved means. If you take grapes and just lay them on your counter or put them in your refrigerator and don't bother them, they're eventually going to get these little fuzzy things growing on them. You walk in and say, ooh, grapes, look at there. And you grab them and start eating them. Well, you're going to be sick as a dog in about 20 minutes. You say, woo, what made me so sick? Well, maybe eating garbage. That might have been what did it. Right? But if you walk in and see fuzz all over your grapes and you pick them up and throw them in the trash and then say, well, I guess I'll just get some jelly. I'll get some preserves. I'll make me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And so you smear that on there and eat that. Well, those are fruit, just like a grape. Raspberries maybe, I don't know, blackberries maybe, but hey, what's the difference? One's been preserved. It's kept. All right? And Jude begins with that great promise that the Christian is preserved in Christ Jesus. Call it what you will, folks. Listen to me now. Eternal security, once in grace, always in grace, eternal salvation, call it whatever you want. I want you to know it's in the Bible, and God has promised that those of us who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior are saved for all eternity. The devil can't get me unsaved. Sin can't get me unsaved. Nothing can get me unsaved. Why? I am preserved in Christ. You say, I don't understand that. Just believe it. It's not a license to sin. I mean, you say, well, if I'm going to heaven regardless, I'm just going to go live it up. In all probability, you never were saved to begin with. If there's no fruit, there's no root. That's something to consider, isn't it? Judas Thaddeus. Oh, folks, why don't we realize that Jesus is our only hope? Why don't we realize that? If we could just come to Him, He's our only hope. That's all we need is Jesus. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so old Judas Thaddeus, well, he knew he was saved. By the way, everybody look up here right now. Everybody look up here. Everybody, you looking at me? You are looking at one guy that believes beyond shadow of doubt and rests his entire life upon this truth that he's saved and on his way to heaven. If I didn't believe that, I would toss this book in the garbage can and I'd go out and get me a real job. What? Got one amen, yeah. One person's awake. You had to think about that. I said, what did he just say? Karen and I'll drive by and we'll see a bunch of state road guys, and one of them's down the ditch digging, five of them standing up here watching. Stop at the stoplight and I'll go, man, I'm glad I don't have to work for a living. She'll go, oh, hush. Folks, Judas Thaddeus. Now, when you get to heaven one day, stick your hand out and say, I know about you, bud. Oh, yeah, how you know about me? Well, let me tell you what my pastor said. May God help us to realize how wonderful it is to know the Savior. Let's bow for prayer. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Wonder how many of us will say here this morning, Pastor, I know that I'm going to heaven. I know I'm saved. I can take you right to the spot, Pastor, where I got on my knees and asked Jesus into my heart. Would you raise your hand and testify that you know Christ as your Savior? You say, Preacher, I know that I'm saved. Yes, 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 yes. Good, 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 good. Amen. Good. You may put your hands down. Thank you so much. That looked like everybody, but I could have missed someone, so let me ask this. Anybody here say, Pastor, I'm not 100% sure. If I died right now, I'm just not 100% sure I'm saved. Pray for me, preacher. Could I pray and ask God to help you? Just lift your hand and hold it up where I can see it. Anybody like that today? Just be honest with yourself, with me, with God. Say, Preacher, pray for me. I'm not 100% sure. All right, Father, you know our hearts now, and I pray that you will bless your word in a great way. Help us to hide your word in our hearts so we won't sin against you. And Father, I'm looking forward to that day when we get to meet men like Jude, when we get to meet men like the Apostle Paul and Peter and James and John and Matthew. I just pray now that you'll help us to realize these were real people. They had real lives. They had real stories. And Father, we can learn some things from their lives. And help us to realize that character is more important than a name. So Father, bless what we've said this morning. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.